He said, he who's coming after me, phew, he's higher than I. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Remember that? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen? Yes. And so he made it very, very clear. Now think about it a minute. So Jesus, is he our Redeemer?
Yes.
Amen? Is he the Lamb of God for us? Amen? Yes. Absolutely. And all Christians agree on that. But he's also a baptizer in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. You've got to understand that. And John made that very, very clear. And remember, this is what the prophet was doing to prepare us for Jesus.
Come on.
And so if we lose track of that, we lose half of the whole purpose of being redeemed.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. In John 7, Jesus and his disciples show up at the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, there's a day, the climactic day of the feast. It's called the Great Day of the Feast.
That's right.
And it was the last day. And nobody was going to not be there for this day. Because on this day, everybody would gather around. Everybody was waiting because the priest was going to come with a special pitcher, a consecrated pitcher full of water. And he would come in. It would be a big ceremonial thing. And he would come in and he would pour the water out on the altar. So everybody's just kind of waiting for this moment, right? And obviously, again, prophetic imagery, right? And he's waiting for this moment. And then Jesus stands up and says something. Amen? And it's found in John 7, 37. Look what it says. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and he cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and what?
Drink.
And drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, come on now, from his innermost being will what?
Flow
what?
Rivers
of living water. Hallelujah. But this he spoke of what? The Spirit, not Dasani or Aquafina or heaven forbid Arrowhead water, right? No, but the Spirit of God. Amen? Angel, we're probably going to have to tweak this down just a bit. I know you turned it up, but it's starting to whistle. Whom those who believed in him were what? To receive. All right, that's too much. Did she just, yeah. Got to find a happy medium there. For those who believed in him were to receive, look what it says. For the Spirit was what? Not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Are y'all with me? Is that up there?
Yes.
Okay. It was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. Now, this Holy Spirit baptism wasn't going to come until Jesus had made sacrifice for sins, until he had been raised from the dead, until he had been ascended into heaven and glorified at the right hand of God. Are we clear? He wasn't going to send the Holy Spirit until that happened. So that's what he was referencing to. So the Holy Spirit is the river.
Amen.
Amen. That would be poured out. Remember what else he told his disciples? Because he was trying to prepare them for the fact that he was going to go away. And he said to his disciples, he said, if I don't go away, I can't send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to you. But when he comes, amen? And he begins to describe all the ways the Holy Spirit would be a part of the Christian life and how we would live our life according to the Spirit of God. But one of the things he said was, he has been with you, but he will be in you. In other words, you've seen the evidence of the river because the river was on Jesus. But he said, I'm going away, but I'm going to give you the river. Hallelujah. The river's going to come on you and flow through and out of you. And you. So what did he say before he ascended into heaven? Wait. Don't try to run out there and do this without the river. You were doing it before because of the river that was in me. If you go out there without the river, that's going to be a dry ministry.
Yeah.
Amen? That's going to be a tough time. Hallelujah. Demons are going to go, right? Sickness is not going to move. Nothing's going to change. But when the river's flowing through you, that changes everything. Because everything the water touches, it lives. Hallelujah. Y'all receiving this? So that's why he said you shall receive power after the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses of that power. Hallelujah. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well, remember what he said? He said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water. Right? Because he said, whoever drinks of this water that I shall give shall never thirst again. Now, that doesn't mean we don't thirst. It means we don't go thirsty. We don't live our life dying and parched all the time, right? Why? Because the river, he said, the drink I give you becomes a wellspring. A wellspring of living water within you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, everybody, a question. Those of you at home, those of you watching, those of you here today, have you been drinking lately? Amen? Have you been drinking? Hallelujah. I mean, I've been drinking this morning. Hallelujah. I believe in corporate outpourings. I do. I believe they're designed by God, those encounters. How many of you love them? Corporate encounters, corporate outpourings of the presence of God. But each one of us must learn how to drink for ourselves. Because I can't drink for you. Ultimately, you can't, you know, somebody can impart something and bless you and you can be impacted by the flow in somebody else's life, but you got to drink. Amen? Amen? We know the adage, you can lead a horse to water. And that's the way it is with most Christians. The water's right there and they just kind of go, that's beautiful. I heard it's really good. Well, take a sip. Take a gulp. How about that? A big gulp. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said this. He said, the Father is jealous for the Spirit that He placed within us. He's jealous for it. And it's like He's saying, I made my Spirit dwell in you. And I think the implication of that is not that the Father wishes He never gave us His Spirit. I don't think that's that at all. But I do think He's implying that many don't realize how wonderful the gift is.
Right, true.
Again, many don't value it. They don't drink of it, at least not regularly. Right. And it's almost like the Father would say, man, what the things you drink and the things you don't drink, right? And I believe that's what the Father would say to us. When Paul wrote about the Holy Spirit, he wrote about that He was who we fellowship with. Our fellowship is with the Holy Spirit. He talked about how when you and I sing and we make melody with our hearts to the Lord, not only are we speaking to one another, as it says in Ephesians, it says also we are filled with the Spirit. It gets the river flowing. Amen? It gets the river flowing in our lives. Again, He's already flowing, but He starts to flow through you.
Yes.
And then suddenly you can be an encouragement
Amen.
To one another.
Yes.
And this is how powerful this resident river is within you. Paul writes that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and He will give life. Why? Because whatever the water touches, life. Yeah. He will give life to your mortal flesh. Doesn't mean your flesh is not mortal. Right? But we have an advantage as Christians because we have something that's life-giving in our mortal flesh. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
You get to be my age, you'll realize my flesh is mortal. When you look in the mirror, you go, whoa, my flesh is mortal. You know, the hair is graying and the lines are showing up, right? But let me tell you something. There's life and it's supernatural.
Yes.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! All through the Scriptures, the prophets, Jesus, the apostles, they spoke of the Spirit being a promise. A promise. Say promise.
Promise.
We're promised that He would send the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, if God promises something, why would we not obtain it? Why would we not receive it? Because you don't receive it passively.
No.
See, everybody's waiting for the river just to come like a tsunami, catch him off guard. It doesn't come that way.
No.
You've got to put yourself in a posture to receive it.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
At Pentecost, we know the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the men are so convicted while Peter is preaching, they literally said to him, well, what are we going to do? What must we do? Yeah, they didn't know what to do. And Peter responds in Acts 2, 38. Peter said, repent. Everybody say repent.
Amen.
And each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you will what? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Keep reading. For the promise, say the promise, is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself, even from the desert southwest.
Amen.
Amen. In 2021, as many as God calls to Himself, the promise is for you.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Amen.
Jesus came to die for our sins. To make atonement as the Lamb of God. No doubt. Do we agree? But He also came to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. This is the promise. It's the river. It's the promise of this mysterious river that all the prophets that everybody talked about that flows from the throne of God in and through and out of us. Hallelujah. I want to be more faithful to not only drink of the river, but I want to be more faithful of releasing the power of that river to other people's lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Probably the most needed revelation regarding the Holy Spirit's promise to come as a river within us is to understand that He's with us now.
Yeah, that's it.
I think that's one of the biggest things. It's not wrong to pray for an outpouring. It's not wrong to pray, oh Lord, do this, revive us or whatever. That's not wrong. We're instructed to do that. But see, our God, remember this, is He who was and who is and who is to come. Right? Think about it. Let's back up. Who is? That means he is. Now, a lot of times people live looking at what he did and can't wait for him to come. And we should live like that. But what about the who is? He is. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's a now God. Amen? This is not a future thing. This is a now thing. And we've got to get that. So, I mean, we've got to be reminded of that. He's not the great I was. Or the great I'm going to be. He's a very involved. He's the great I am. That's actually his name. And he taught, he said, that's how you remember me. I am. Tell him I am sent me. Amen? Not, well, God spoke to me years ago. Now God's speaking to me now. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying now to the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't know y'all going to get this excited. Glory. Are we living and walking and fellowshipping with and flowing with the Holy Spirit? That's the question we have to answer in our everyday lives. Amen? We are warned in Scripture to not quench the Holy Spirit. We're warned in Scripture to not grieve the Holy Spirit. The only way you would really grieve Him and quench Him is you live your life like He's not around.
That's right.
Amen? Come on. Like that song that I love, the opposite of it is saying, Lord, let us become more aware of Your presence. But can I tell you, He's not just around us, He's within us.
That's right.
And it's important for us to understand that. Hallelujah. Sometimes I think we neglect Him because of the difficulties of life.
Yes.
We start to become overwhelmed with what we see and what we're listening to and what's going on in our lives. And it's easy to, we can almost forget. The river's kind of like going, hey, I'm right here, buddy. You know what I'm saying? And we're kind of like, oh, but you know, Holy Spirit, be quiet. I got to deal with this. I got to fix this. He said, if you would let me touch it. If you would let me touch it. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. We become distracted too, right? We become distracted like Peter from the wind and the waves and all that's going on. And we just cease to live aware. And what happens when we don't live aware of His presence? It's easy. All of us do it. We become complacent. We become complacent. And Zephaniah spoke into that. I know I've taught on this before, but let's look at it real quick. Zephaniah 1:12. Zephaniah 1:12. Look at this. It will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are what? What does it say? Stagnant. Say stagnant. In spirit. Who say in their hearts, look, what does the stagnant spirit say? The Lord will not do good or evil. Right? How would we say that today? God ain't doing nothing. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not blaming Him for evil, but He ain't doing nothing either. That, how many of you know that's totally being in neutral? Right? That's in your spirit. Now, the King James says, I think, who are settled in complacency.
That's right.
I really like both because stagnation gives us a picture of something that's not moving.
That's
right? But being complacent is the very reason why something is stagnant. So I really like both translations of that word. In other words, so, you know, how many know, even in coming to a church service or a prayer meeting or a home gathering or whatever the event may be or a conference or anything, it's all dependent upon the condition of our heart. The river will flow if we are not stagnant.
There you go.
Amen? Yeah. And He'll flow mightily the more and more people who are in agreement to let Him flow in the way that He wants to flow. Rivers aren't stagnant. They're always moving. Amen? I know y'all know this, but I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, a river city, river town, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi. And it's a massive river. And it's huge. People see it that are used to some of the rivers around here, and they kind of go, whoa, that's a river? I thought you drove to the Atlantic Ocean, you know, you just see water. But if you've ever gone down, there's a park in Memphis that's right off of the bluff. Memphis is built on a bluff. It never floods from the river. Though the other side on the Arkansas farmland side will flood during flood stage. But there's a drive called Riverside Drive, and there's a park where a lot of festivals and barbecue festivals and stuff are held. And you can get right down and see that water. And it's just moving so fast, it's unbelievable. You know what I'm talking about, Daniel? I mean, the current, and people that mess around in Mississippi die, and they find them in New Orleans later. I mean, you know, it's just such a brutally strong river. And my point is the flow never stops. So I don't want to be a stagnant man. Anybody with me?
Come on.
I don't want to be a man who's not thinking, well, I don't expect God to really do anything.
Yeah. Come on now.
Now, it's worse to say God's doing evil things. That's when I call sovereignty of God teaching run amok.
Yeah.
Where we blame everything on God.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the other side of the coin. But it's just as bad to be stagnant because Jesus said, lukewarm people make me spit them out.
Yeah.
And this is strong. But in that same rebuke, he said, I love you. And that's why I'm rebuking you. We got to remember that, okay? It's just an analogy to help us understand the Lord's name. That word, by the way, in the Zechariah prophecy about punishment is really misunderstood. It means to reprove. It means to correct. It means to discipline. But get this, by making us uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? Or dissatisfied.
Right?
Because you can be reproved, but if you're comfortable in your sin, you'll stay in it.
That's right.
But if you're uncomfortable, it's punishing you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So don't think of punishment as in harming you.
Right.
Amen?
You
or like child abuse, right?
Yeah.
Being harmed or punished in that way. Not at all. It's a corrective thing, and it has to come. But let's be honest. Sometimes you and I won't receive correction until we're made uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I won't even come out of a particular sin until I get sick of being in it.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
And that's how it works. The Lord's trying to make, I believe, the remnant church uncomfortable.
Right.
Yep.
We don't like the way this is. I don't like being dry.
Right.
I don't like being barren. Are you with me? I don't like being empty. Are you with me?
Amen.
And I certainly don't like going thirsty.
Yeah.
That's it.
Remember what it says, the verse that Susan always teaches from? Well, it said Susan always, but she gave us that revelation a few years ago from Psalms where it says, I think 68, where it says, it is rebellion to dwell in a parched land. In other words, it's rebellion to stay here. So God's calling us out of being parched. He's calling us out of that and saying, there's a river I've given you, and its streams will make glad the city of God. Hallelujah. Y'all receive that.
Amen.
So again, why does He discipline us and chasten us? Because sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes, just like in the natural, you can be incredibly dehydrated and not even know it.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
We heard of somebody just the other day we were talking about, we were praying for them. They had gotten some terrible reports and they were going to do some things with the doctor, even a surgery. She ended up talking to somebody else and found out, you're just dehydrated. Let me put some fluids in you. And she was back to normal.
Yeah. Yep.
The problem wasn't even what they were diagnosing with the other clinic. But over here, the doctor realized she was dehydrated. Here's my point. That's one thing about dehydration. You can be dehydrated and not know it. Because we think, well, I'm not thirsty. That's not what you go by. Amen? And so it's the same thing. God's wanting to do something special in us. And He does all of this because He doesn't want us to remain in the state. Our innermost being shall have what? Rivers of living water flowing out. And I believe the Lord's searching for a remnant that He is not going to allow us to remain stagnant. He's going to make us uncomfortable because we know better. Amen?
Amen.
I've seen too much. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Come on now, I know the history of God. I know the testimony of Jesus. And He wants to challenge of our heart. That there must, I didn't even say anything to Daniel about this, but this is in my notes. There must be more than this.
Yeah.
I wrote that in my notes. We were singing that from that song today.
Yeah. Wow.
There must be more than this. Amen?
Amen?
And you might say, well, how dare you? You've been so blessed. No, there must be more than this.
Yeah.
I love you, but there must be more than this. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me? Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I've been in some great meetings over the years, but I still would say there must be more than this.
Lord.
And there's something God wants to place within us for more. Hallelujah. I've told you over and over, we ought to be a house full of heavy drinkers.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
In Revelation, the Lord searched out a church that He loved.
Yeah.
At the same time, He couldn't stomach them.
Yeah.
And y'all know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The Laodicean church, right? The lukewarm church.
Yeah.
And let's look what He said to them in Revelation 3:15. Revelation 3:15. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot. How many know? When you're cold, you know it.
Yep.
And if you're hot, you know it.
Yeah.
Lukewarmness is dangerous.
Very.
Right? Because that's that area in the middle where you got it in neutral. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Come on. Come on. Let's be honest.
Definitely.
He says, so because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will what? Spit you out of my mouth. Some translations actually say vomit. Okay? Because you say, here it is, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing. In other words, all is well, right? Huh?
Yep.
And you do not know, in reality, what? That you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. In other words, you're spiritually bankrupt. Amen?
Yeah.
So I advise you. Do you know God gives advice? I advise you to buy from me gold That is refined by what? Fire. So we know we're talking spiritually here, right?
Yeah.
So that you may become what? Rich. And white garments, so that you may clothe yourself. And the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. How many of you are glad, even in your stubbornness, that you heard God and allowed Him to cover your nakedness?
Yes. Amen.
Because when nakedness gets exposed, it's shameful. And there's a lot of things nobody else ever saw, because God in His mercy clothed me in His righteousness. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. It's what He's calling us to. And eye salve, to anoint your eyes. For what purpose, guys? Say it to me. So that you may see. Now, please get the next verse. Those whom I what?
Love.
Those, not those whom I'm disgusted with. No. Those whom I love, I what? Reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and what? Repent. Again, the Lord searches us out. He reproves us. He calls us to repent because He
loves us.
Thank you. You got it. Because He loves you. If you'll remember that, it's easier to repent. Because it's kindness that leads you to actually repent. But if you think it's all about punishment, see how you can get off kilter on that. And you won't really repent. You'll just sit around and sulk and suck your thumb. Right? Hallelujah. Especially with the church in America, we need to learn how to respond appropriately to difficulties. Let's be honest. We've kind of been like a bunch of spoiled brats.
Oh, yeah.
You know, gas goes up, we freak. Why is God letting this happen? Are you kidding me? I know of a church that just got martyred in Afghanistan. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, come on. You're worried about gas.
What do we call it? Persecution. Are you with me? And I don't want gas to go up any higher. Thank you, Lord. But my point is, it's not about that. We need to learn. But can I tell you, difficulties are going to keep coming.
Yes.
And we've got to know how to handle that better. Would you agree with me?
Yes.
We've got to know how to do that.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 4, the early church immediately goes into persecution. We know the story. Peter and John get pulled in, right, and threatened and arrested in prison, interrogated. And then they were threatened upon their release to no longer speak in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Fat chance that was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But they come back to their brethren. I love this. It's in Acts 4. They come back to their brethren, and they all with one accord begin to pray. They lifted their voices in one accord in prayer to the Lord. Now, let me say this. They did not start wailing and crying. Oh, Lord, why is this happening to us? You won't find any of those prayers in the book of Acts, but you'll find martyrs.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
You'll see the difference in how you respond. Look at Acts 4:20. Look at the end of their prayer, the most powerful part of it. Acts 4:29. They're still praying. Listen to the prayer. And now, Lord, I love this, take note of their threats. In other words, they're basically saying, God, there's our enemy. You do something with them. Right? Take note of their threats. And look what they pray. And grant that your bondservants may speak your word. Come on. With all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed in this way, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Beloved, they stayed on mission.
Come on.
Come on. Nobody knew who's going to be next to be arrested. Right? Who's going to be the next one? And they stayed on mission and they prayed. They lifted the situation up to God. But what they asked of God, they didn't pray, God, get us out of this. They prayed, God, give us a new anointing so we can be even all the more bold. Hallelujah. And when we pray that way, the Holy Spirit refreshes. He responds to that in a mighty way. Amen. People say they want more anointing. Well, what do you need more anointing for if you're not doing anything with what you got? Amen. Hallelujah. They didn't back off. They didn't allow themselves to be intimidated by the enemy either. I love that. And God honored it in a powerful way. Look at verse 33 of that same chapter. I love this. With great power, everybody say great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace, say that with me, abundant grace was upon them all. Would y'all agree with me? In the days that lie ahead for the church, we're going to need great power and abundant grace to navigate through it. Come on, say it with me. Great power and abundant grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I believe the Lord is challenging us in His love. Because again, He jealously desires His Spirit whom He has placed, the river to flow freely, unhindered within us. So what did He say? Those whom I love, I what? I reprove and I discipline, I chasten. Therefore, what's our response? Be zealous and repent. Being zealous in repentance, I like to put it this way. We wouldn't say zealous in American vernacular. We would say radical. Wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I mean, we would say, we might say, well, oh, he's zealous, but not usually. But it's a very common word in Jesus' Aramaic culture. They had zealots. You know, so to be zealous. And, you know, David said, I am filled with zeal for the house of the Lord and that kind of a thing. But it's to be radical.
Yeah.
It's to be radical for God. And there's four synonyms that you can take. I was thinking about cinnamon muffins for some reason. Get behind me, for a few more minutes. They were trying to put donuts out in the foyer this morning. That's the problem right there. I don't know who did that. Yeah, it's your fault. Yeah.
I bought
them. But the Hebrew and Greek show us these different these words that are synonymous for our English word to repent or repentance. Okay,
yeah.
Are y'all with me? And they're very dramatic. Each of them are very important. But they're also very dramatic. Let me share them with you really quick. Four of them. The first one we all know. To repent is to change your mind. Right? Right?
Yeah.
You got to make a decision, but you also have to renew that mind. You don't just decide to follow Jesus. You got to change the way you think or you won't be able to keep following Jesus. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Right. The second word that is a synonym for us of repentance is to adjust your course or your path. How many know it's one thing to start thinking differently, but you got to change direction too, right? I always used to tell the youth when I was a youth pastor, this is about not a 360, this is a 180, right? You're coming to be forgiven, but you're also going to start walking a totally different path. You got to make some adjustments to the way you walk, amen, to walk in repentance. Both of those are very important. But the last two get much more internal in the sense of your heart. And the third one is this. Yield your heart to the way of His heart.
Right. Amen.
Because see, in our determination, I can make a decision, right? Even in my determination, I can start walking differently. But when the heart gets aligned, I'm really operating
right.
in repentance,
that's right?
Because now I'm yielded to what He wants. Amen?
Amen?
That's very important. Very important for us to understand that. Remember David. He said, I have found David, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.
That's right.
See, that's the secret. Because we could cry and sing our love songs and boo-hoo and use a box of Kleenex every Sunday, but don't live for His will.
That's right?
You with me?
Yes, sir.
That's the difference. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right?
Amen.
But it's a heart thing. It's not about the legalism of the Old Testament. It's about the heart. If you can get the heart loving Him, then you just want to please Him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Are y'all? But the fourth one ups it to the fullest. Are you ready for this one? Burn the house and leave.
I love it. Where's the torch at?
Burn the house and leave. Now, what is that referencing? What? I was what? Crucified with Christ. It's no longer that guy doesn't live anymore. Hallelujah. But now Christ lives in and through me. Are you with me?
New creation.
You might say, can you go back?
No.
You can never go back. Why? Because I burnt the house. There ain't nothing to go back to. Come on. There was a people in the initial generation that came out of Egypt that wanted to go back. The problem is they couldn't get across the Red Sea. They couldn't go back. Same thing that went to Promised Land. You crossed that Jordan. They weren't going
to
give it. But God wants us to live that way in repentance. Amen?
Right.
Why do I want to go back? Amen?
Amen.
I love that. Burn the house and leave. And you know, here's why I brought those up today. We need radical repentance in our lives. What I've learned in watching people over the years, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't initially come to Jesus that radical. I really didn't. Just being honest with you. But I've learned more and more how to be that radical. But I didn't initially. But I have seen men and women who were in great bondage and addictions and all of this, just bound up like to the you know what. And they radically repented, and it's just like they got delivered, set free, boom. The one-step program called radical repentance. Amen? And it's just like, you know what I'm saying? They didn't have to be nurtured and counseled for 20 years to get free. It's just something happens. And I'm telling you, it's radical repentance. And I've seen that. And the more radically we repent, the more freedom, the more power, the more glory, frankly, the more flow of the river is released through our lives. Hallelujah. So don't look at that as a rebuke. Just say, Lord, help me to live like that. Amen. I was listening. We were, Nashay and I were watching y'all have heard of that Christian doctor, Dr. Don Colbert. He's a Spirit-filled doctor, and he's about nutrition and how to eat right and how a lot of healing is hindered by, not that Christ loves you and is not a healer, it's just that you're just doing stupid things to your body. Right? Come on, let's be honest. But talking about that, I think it was an interview where he was being interviewed by Kenneth Copeland, and they were just sitting there talking. And Kenneth talked about, he said, yeah, about 35 years ago, I told the Lord I would never put sugar in my mouth the rest of my life. And I'm sitting there going, wow, you know, really? But when you hear him talk about how he did it and how he just said, he burnt the house down. He burnt down the sugar factory. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And just walked away from it. And my point is, his point was that was an addiction in his life, and it was a problem for his health.
Sure.
And that's what he needed to do. My point is, with anything, there's something about a radical turnabout that causes something very, very powerful to be released.
Yeah.
Great grace, right?
Yeah.
Great power and abundant grace. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I want you to look at the result that Jesus promises if we radically repent. Go back with me over to Laodicea. And go to Revelation 3, and let's pick up with verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and what? So what are we talking about here? We're talking about our heart, right? Amen? I will what? Come into him and will dine with him and he with me. What do you think happens right there, guys? That's the restoration of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, right? I'm knocking on the door because I love you. And if you'll open the door, I'll come into you. And that dining, the old King James says, sup with you.
Yeah.
It speaks of fellowship. It's the intimacy of fellowship together. And then he says this, get this now. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. By the way, this is Jesus speaking. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church at Laodicea? No, to the churches. See, this is a word to us all. This is the cry of God's heart. Hear what my Spirit is saying. So the question I ask myself and all of us, are we thirsty? Are we thirsting for the right things? Amen? Or have we become complacent? Are we living our lives with expectancy, or have we allowed ourselves to become dry and stagnant? Bless you. Paul warned the Jews in Acts 13. He was getting ready to turn from the Jews and start ministering to the Gentiles. And one of the last things he said to them, he said, you need to be careful, those of you who scoff or despise the prophetic word. He said, you need to be very, very careful. He warned them. He said, the prophet spoke of you. You would be those. He said, take heed. Get this. Take heed. Behold, you who scoff, you will marvel and perish. For I am accomplishing a work in your days. Say, in our days.
In our days.
A work which you would never believe, even if someone would describe it to you. Think about all the prophetic words that have been spoken over this generation. What is that? It's God describing His intent.
Right?
It's God speaking it, because He speaks it before it happens.
Right?
He's describing His intent to this generation and to us, and saying to us, this is what I'm going to do, a work in your days, but don't be a scoffer. Because what will happen is you will marvel and perish. In other words, you won't enter into it. You might even see it, but you won't get to enjoy it. And I'll be honest with you. I know I've used that verse a lot in ministering to you guys, but that's something in me. I said, Lord, I don't want to miss what you're going to do. I don't want to miss that. Amen? I want to be a part of it. We need to be filled afresh and anew with the Holy Spirit. Would you agree?
Amen.
And Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink. Amen? If there's early rains, guess what? There's latter rains.
Right.
And as powerful as some of the rains we read about in the book of Acts, can you imagine what the latter rains are going to be like? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, why aren't we believing for that? Hallelujah. So we need to get ready for it. Hallelujah. I know I've told you before, it's a little late when the storms start hitting to start developing your foundation. And I believe God's in His mercy is trying to get us into that place. I just don't, I'll be honest with you, I just don't want to read about a move of God in Charisma magazine. And I've done that over the years. What's happening at Brownsville? What's happening over at the Toronto Airport Vineyard? What's these moves of God in Africa? And I'm like going, I don't want to just read about it. I want to be in the middle of it. Is anybody with me? Hallelujah. So I challenge us all, whether you're here today or at home, let's be a house that's filled with the Spirit. Amen? Because that Lamb who died for you also wants to baptize you. He wants to saturate your life with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. There's a river. Hallelujah. Whose streams make glad the city of God. And God is in the midst of her. And she will not be shaken. The church will quit shaking. Come on, guys. We're shaking too much. Hallelujah. There will be a harvest. A lot of fish. Come on. Hallelujah. And those fish are going to be men. Hallelujah. And there will be great healing because everything the river touched. I believe we're going to get to that place. People are going to come in amongst the remnant God, the church that's filled with the river flowing. People are going to come in here. He said, I don't really know what happened. I just went to that church and got healed. Right? I just got close to somebody that was soaked with something. Right? So it means to be baptized, literally be saturated. Saturated to overflowing. You know, have you noticed now, since we had such a heavy monsoon, praise Jesus for that. You know, the monsoon broke the drought, or at least it seems like it did. But they'll tell you, even if it's just going to be a shower the next day or the next day, they put up flash flood warnings. Why? The ground's saturated.
That's right.
So that means another heavy rain, and it's just going to cause the flooding and the cars floating down the freeway stuff. But but you got to be ready for what God wants to do. And I'm just like, God, whatever you need to do, do it. Amen? See, here's the thing. This is the true identity of a true believer. And it's the true identity of the true church. The river. The river that is flowing. A redeemed people, yes. Yes. But also a Spirit-baptized people.
Yes.
Because that's what Jesus came to do. So let's shake off complacency.
That's right.
Amen? And let's get this river flowing from our innermost being, from our hearts. Now, after the Lord rebukes the people for being settled in complacency, for having a stagnant spirit, Zephaniah begins to exhort the remnant. He starts talking about this remnant. And when you read it, we don't have time to read all of it, but when you read it, this is the remnant of those who shook off the complacency. They recognized where they were and said, I don't want to live like this. I want to live full of God, right? And with that, Zephaniah speaks to them. And I want you to allow this to speak to you this morning. And we're going to close with this and then we'll pray. You ready? Let's go over to chapter 3 of Zephaniah. That prophecy was in chapter 1. But go to chapter 3 and look what happens here. This is powerful. Verse 12. I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will what? Take refuge in the name of... Is that up there? Yes, they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will do no wrong and tell no lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. Now, please get this part. For they will what? Feed and lie down with no one to make them tremble. Amen? No virus is going to make you tremble. Amen? Now, you're not going to tremble because of what's going on. No wars and rumors of wars are going to make you tremble. Amen? Anybody want that? Say no trembling. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken... People ask me why I shout so loud. It's just because I'm trying to do it with all my heart. To me, going, hallelujah, is not shouting. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
hallelujah. The Lord... Come on, this gets better. The Lord has taken away His judgments against you. Come on.
Right.
He has cleared away your enemies.
Woo!
The King of Israel, the Lord, is where? In your midst, and you will fear disaster. No more. Say it. No more.
No more.
See, we're going to be a different generation. There's going to be some crazy stuff going on, and we're just going to have this supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Everybody's going to go, I don't know, I'm just going to hang out with those guys. They either don't watch the news or they don't care. Verse 16. In that day, say in that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, now get this, do not be afraid. Say that with me. Do not be afraid. Look at somebody. I know this is a challenge. Some of you are scared to do this. Look at somebody and say, do not be afraid. Amen? How about this? When you come into the house of the Lord, do not let your hands fall limp. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. I let, you know, with my hands when I'm worshiping, it's like my antennas.
Yeah.
It really is. Don't let your hands draw limp. Amen? The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. Oh, this gets even better. You ready for this? He will exult over you with joy, and He will be quiet in His love, and He will rejoice over you with what? Shouts of joy! He rejoices over us! How dare we not rejoice over Him? Glory to God! Hallelujah! Glory to God.
Amen.
The unchangeable Jesus is with us. Do we agree?
Yeah.
And in the presence of the Holy Spirit, He is with us and in us. Amen. He's really in our midst. He really is.
Yes, He is.
You might say, well, half the church's out of town this weekend. So?
Me too.
Jesus said, just two or more of you.
That's right.
Amen. We had two musicians up here this morning. That's all we had. That's all we needed. They had it right here to get started. Here's my prayer for you, is that each of us would value the river.
That's right. Thank you, Lord, for the river.
That we would value the river, the Holy Spirit that's within us. Amen? And make sure all stagnation is eliminated through radical repentance.
Yeah.
Jesus encourages us to receive more. I'm not going to turn to the Scripture for the sake of time, but He said this. He said, you earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children. Y'all remember that passage? And He said, none of you would give a scorpion to your child when he asked you for an egg.
Yeah, that's right, sir.
Or no one would give, like when he asked for a fish, give them a serpent. And I'm like, going, man, this is pretty tough. I mean, the toughest of dads wouldn't do that, right? And He even said, you evil fathers know how to give good gifts. But then He says this, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? You see, a lot of times we don't ask for more because we don't understand Daddy's heart, Papa's heart, right? We don't understand it. Abba's heart is so good toward us, amen? And when we don't understand that, we don't understand. He wants to overflow your heart with His river. Unlike anything you've ever known.
Yeah.
But do we ever cry out and just say, more, Lord!
More, Lord!
More!
Amen.
That was actually the theme of the revival we had that I told you all about that we had back in the late 90s in Memphis at the church there with my brother's church. And that was the cry, the worship and everything. It was more. More of your glory. More of your power. More of your river. And it was amazing. When that hunger comes, God wants to give us more. Are you with me?
Yes.
So I pray that for you today, that we'll ask for more. But can I say this? It's not enough just to pray and ask and then not drink.
Yeah.
You've got to come and drink. And I would encourage you to come and drink in your private time with God.
Yes.
Come and drink at a worship service.
Yes.
Come and drink at a prayer meeting.
Yes.
Why don't you drink of the Lord while you're driving down and
yes.
stuck in traffic? Why not?
Yes.
Why not?
Yes, Lord.
Instead of looking for a moment, oh, I can check Facebook right now because the traffic's not moving. What if we just drank of the Holy Spirit of God? Amen?
Drink, amen.
Amen. So let's observe that. Let's not just be a people who observe what the Holy Spirit is doing, but let's be ourselves baptized in the Holy Spirit. Would you lift up your hands right now? Just lift up your hands. We're going to pray something short, but I just want you just to lift up your hands to the Lord right now. The psalmist said, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord.
Amen.
It is a good thing to bless the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on, why don't you offer a shout right now to the Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Bless you, Jesus!
Yeah.
Hallelujah! Come on, think about that. He's rejoicing over you this morning. He's rejoicing over you. Pray with me if you would. Lord, oh, how we need you, Holy Spirit. We need the river. We need the river like never before. So that we may be glad. Say that. So that we may be glad and not shaken. Come on, say it. Not shaken. So that we may receive healing. Life and freedom.
Freedom.
Say that again. Healing.
Healing.
Life and freedom.
Freedom.
And also
that we may receive
your great harvest.
Your great harvest.
Oh Lord, May this house
be your house
where your river
flows freely
and heals the nations. For your glory, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Stand up with me. Everybody stand up. Reach over, just grab somebody's hand or put your hand on their back. Just touch somebody right now today. Father, I pray for every person in this room. Every man, woman, and child. I pray for people at home right now. Reach over, grab your kid's hand, grab your spouse's hand, sitting on the couch today. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, for a release of that river. Just say, let it flow. Everybody, come on, just enter. Let it flow. 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 I say to some of you, there's a flow right now of healing anointing for your physical body. And so, Lord, we just say, let it flow.
Let it flow.
Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come. Move in power. Move in power. Say it again. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Holy Spirit, come and move in power. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let it flow. Hallelujah. Receive it right now. Hallelujah. We begin with your mouth to begin to say, begin to release the attributes of the river right now. Lord, we release life. We release life. We release joy. Some of you need some joy. Come on. We release joy. We release peace like a river. Hallelujah. We release healing unto your body right now, to your heart. I release life into your family. Lord, we pray for our children, Lord. What they're having to go through, Lord God, and all the fear and all the things that have been placed upon them and the restraints that have been placed upon them. Lord, we pray for our children. Let the river flow to our kids, Lord, to this generation, Lord God. I declare they will not be a damaged generation, but they'll be emotionally whole and well. In Jesus' mighty name. Bless our children, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for those who are sitting at home alone. And I declare to you, you are not alone. There's a river. And I encourage each and every one of you, come and get in the river with the saints of God. Don't stay isolated. Don't stay alone. Always use wisdom. But come. It's time. It's time to get connected again to the body. It's time to because there's a greater flow. But I say to you today, wherever that river flows, as the prophet measured it,
yes,
the further he got away, the deeper it got.
Hallelujah.
Until you just had to radically repent and say, Lord, this river is over my head. I've got to go with it. I can't fight it. I can't walk in it. I've got to go with it. Hallelujah. I release encouragement over you today. I release the blessings of God over you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, turn around and lift your hands one more time and just worship. Just worship. Just worship. Just worship. Receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah. 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 Holy One.
the river flow. Let the river flow.
Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come.
Move in power.
Move in power.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Let it flow, Lord.
Come to the river, come to the river, taste and see.
Come on, drink of him today.
Come to the river, come to the river, taste and see. You are good. You are good. Hallelujah. For you are good. You are good. And your love endures. For you are good. You are good. And your love endures. For you are good. You are good. And your love endures. Today, so good. You are good. You are good. And your love endures. You are good. You are good. And your love endures. For you are good. You are good. And your love endures. Today.
I believe there's someone that maybe that word earlier in the worship was for you. You're struggling. You feel trapped. You didn't even understand what God meant when he said he would pursue you to reprove you and correct you. But the Lord says to you today, I'm coming to you out of love and out of my goodness today. My goodness today. My kindness is leading you to repent. And you may say, I've tried before, Pastor. I've never been able to. But the Lord would say today, in my kindness and in my love, and in that flow of the river right now, just commit to God. Be radical. Burn down the house. Hallelujah. And walk away.
Yeah.
Come on. Trust God. I think the chains are being broken. Bondages are snapping off right now. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's power in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And don't think you have to be in this meeting to receive it. You can receive it right now. Because
yes.
He sends his word. He sends his word and heals. He sends his word and delivers. He sends his word and saves.
Yes.
And sets the captives free.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we pray today your blessings upon all gathered here and all listening today. In the sound of our voice, we just release the blessing of God over you today. The Lord blesses you. And the Lord keeps you. The Lord causes his face to shine upon yours. He lifts up his countenance upon you. He places his hand of favor upon you. And he keeps you during this time. And it shall not come nigh your dwelling.
Hallelujah.
Or your family. Or your physical body. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And he blesses you with peace.
Yes.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Nothing missing. Hallelujah. Nothing broken, nothing out of place. In Jesus' mighty name. Say, I receive it, Lord.
I receive
it, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. So be it. Good day, friends. We'll talk to you later. Stay tuned. We'll have a prayer night this week. I'm not sure if it's Thursday or Friday, but we'll let you know. Stay tuned. We love you. God bless. Hallelujah. Thank you.
If you guys can, if your cup is on the floor, could you pick it up and throw it away so that we won't have the aunt family show up? Because they will show up. The aunt family will show up if we leave that cup sitting out, boy, there. Yeah, please make sure our cups get thrown away if there's any sitting around. And also your coffee cups and mugs, too. Hallelujah. It doesn't take much to get...